Welcome to Beta Finch, your AI-powered earnings breakdown.
I'm Alex.
And I'm Jordan. Today, we're digging into Walmart's fiscal second quarter 2027 results.
Before we jump in, this podcast is AI-generated content for educational and entertainment purposes only. Nothing we discuss should be considered investment advice. Always do your own research and consult a qualified financial advisor before making any investment decisions.
Good ground rules. So, Alex, Walmart just posted a really strong quarter. Where do we start?
Let's start with the headline numbers. Enterprise sales grew 5% in constant currency. That's the top end of their guidance. Adjusted operating income was up over 17%, and EPS grew more than 19%. Walmart U.S. comps came in at 2.6%, Sam's Club U.S. hit 4.4%, and international was up nearly 8%, led by China and India.
But here's the twist. A good chunk of that operating income growth wasn't organic, so to speak. Walmart received about $2.9 billion in tariff refunds this quarter, and that added roughly 750 basis points to operating income growth. Strip that out, and underlying profit growth was still solid, at the top end of their 7 to 10% guidance. But the headline number is inflated by a one-time item.
Right, and CFO John David Rainey was upfront about this. He basically said, look at second quarter and third quarter together to get the real picture because they're plowing a lot of that refund money right back into price cuts rather than just letting it flow to the bottom line.
Which explains the rollback numbers. Walmart U.S. had over 11,000 rollbacks by the end of the quarter, up from 7,200 at the end of first quarter. That's a huge jump, and CEO John Furner called it one of the highest counts he can remember.
It's a pretty deliberate strategy. Take a windfall from tariff refunds, funnel it into lower prices on things like ground beef and pantry staples, and try to lock in market share. Furner mentioned food share gains were some of the strongest they've seen in a while.
And that's the bet, right? Price investments now, in hopes it builds durable trust and share gains that outlast the promotional period. Management was pretty candid that there's a lag. You see unit growth first, and the real payoff comes over months, not days.
Let's talk about the stuff that weighed on results, too. Health and wellness was a real drag this quarter. That's their pharmacy business. New regulation called maximum fair price for certain drugs hit comp sales by about 125 basis points, worse than they'd expected. They also lost the GLP, one drug tailwind that helped in prior years.
Which is interesting because if you back out health and wellness, their core categories, grocery, general merchandise, have been remarkably steady in that 3 to 4% range for 2.5 years. So the top line wobble is really a pharmacy story, not a Walmart is losing its core mojo story.
Now, the part one find genuinely exciting is the platform story, e-commerce, advertising, membership, marketplace. Global e-commerce grew 23%. Advertising was up 38% globally. Marketplace in the U.S. grew 52%. And membership fee income hit an all-time high, up 17%.
This is the piece investors should really pay attention to. Rainey made a striking comparison. Walmart's U.S. comp was only about 2.5%, but operating income grew 10%, excluding tariff effects. That's four times the revenue growth rate. And he said, they haven't seen the kind of profit leverage relative to comp sales in two decades.
Because these newer businesses, advertising, marketplace, membership, carry much higher margins, and they're growing faster than the core retail business. Roughly half of profit growth this quarter came from those areas.
They also made a notable acquisition, Vibe, an ad tech platform, which expands their self-service advertising tools for small and mid-sized merchants. Combined with Walmart Connect and Vizio, that's another leg for the ad business, which Rainey specifically called out as a driver of rising incremental margins going forward.
And internationally, they're exporting the whole playbook. Walmart Plus launched in Canada, Marketplace expanded into Mexico and Canada, and Sam's Club China hit record membership highs.
On guidance, they raised the full year. Sales guidance moved up to 4 to 5% from 3.5 to 4.5%, and operating income guidance rose to 7 to 8.5% from 6 to 8%. Full-year EPS guidance ticked up to $2.80 to $2.87.
But it's worth noting the raise was described as modest and cautious. They're absorbing over $2 billion in incremental fuel costs this year, plus a softer consumer environment than they expected back in February.
Right, and CFO Rainey specifically flagged that third quarter operating income growth guidance is only 2 to 4%. That looks weak on paper, but it's because the price investments made late in second quarter hit their full quarterly impact in third quarter. He again urged analysts to blend second quarter and third quarter together, where combined operating income growth averages about 10% per quarter.
One more thing that stood out to me. In-store comps were actually down low single digits, which sounds concerning at first.
But management pushed back hard on reading that as stores losing relevance. It's almost entirely the pharmacy headwind. And functionally, stores are doing more work than ever. They're the fulfillment point for 80% of e-commerce orders and 100% of fast deliveries. It's really an accounting and categorization issue more than a traffic problem.
So stepping back, what's the takeaway for investors here?
I'd frame it this way. Walmart is using a temporary windfall, those tariff refunds, to fund an aggressive price war, betting it converts into durable market share, especially among higher income households they've been attracting. Meanwhile, the profit engine is quietly shifting toward higher margin businesses like advertising, marketplace, and membership, which is structurally changing how profitable each dollar of sales is. The near-term noise, pharmacy regulation headwinds, fuel costs, the tariff refund timing, makes quarter-to-quarter comparisons messy, but the underlying trend of accelerating profit growth relative to sales growth is the story to watch.
Well said. Before we wrap up, our standard reminder from Jordan.
Everything discussed is AI-generated analysis for educational purposes. Past performance doesn't guarantee future results. Please do your own due diligence.
Looking ahead, keep an eye on whether those rollbacks convert into permanent price cuts, how the health and wellness headwind evolves, and whether that Vibe acquisition starts showing up meaningfully in the advertising numbers next quarter.
Should be a fascinating back half of the year to watch. Thanks for tuning in to Beta Finch.
We'll catch you next time. Take care.